Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I just get so excited thinking about the celebration of Pentecost. And I get so excited because I'm beginning to know, and I want you to begin to know, how near God is through His Holy Spirit. And the more we acknowledge Him, and the more we depend upon Him, and the more we allow Him room to inspire, to anoint, to challenge, to correct, the more we allow Him the scope of His presence within us, the closer we're going to draw to God, the closer we're going to draw to the source of all love. And underneath it all, brothers and sisters, that's what each of us craves and hungers for, is love. And the perfect love is the love of God in Christ. The world holds out to you some very good expressions of love, but it also holds out to you a lot of counterfeit. Good marriages are a sign of the presence of God and the love of God. But the world holds out a lot of counterfeits. Don't be taken in, because you have been given the treasure that is immeasurable. Don't settle for less because you want some kind of immediate satisfaction or immediate gratification. Don't do it. Cling to Him. And when He sees that you genuinely cling to Him, He will open up a revelation of Himself to you and to all of us that will benefit the world. I'm serious about this. This is not hyperbole. This is the truth. The truth is greater than anything you could imagine, because the truth itself is enfleshed in Christ. The truth itself is a person. The truth by which we live flows out from the risen Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the essence of truth is not this theory or that theory. The essence of truth is a person, Jesus, who died to save you. When you draw near to Him, everything falls into place. The purpose of life, the purpose of suffering, the purpose of joy, the purpose of hope, everything flows from His presence. So as we approach the celebration of Pentecost, read the readings this week with all of that in mind. The first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verses 17 to 27. From Miletus, Paul had the presbyters of the church at Ephesus summoned. When they came to him, he addressed them. You know how I lived among you the whole time, from the day I first came to the province of Asia. I served the Lord with all humility, and with the tears and trials that came to me because of the plots of the Jews. And I did not at all shrink from telling you what was for your benefit, or from teaching you in public or in your homes. I earnestly bore witness for both Jews and Greeks to repentance before God and to faith in our Lord Jesus. In other words, I've carried out from the day I found Christ, I carried out what He asked of me. But now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. It's inner inspiration. It always has to be tested, which he would have tested with other brothers there. But now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, they knew he could die there. They knew it. Because the forces opposed to him would be very, very strong. You wanted to stay out of Jerusalem. Sometimes you just wanted to stay out in the villages. It was safer. But now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. What will happen to me there, I do not know, except that in one city after another, the Holy Spirit has been warning me that imprisonment and hardships await me. Well, what would you say? I don't want hardships. I don't want to be imprisoned. I don't want any of that. I'm getting out of here. That's not living as a son or daughter. if you put all your trust in your Father and he warns you that difficulties await you, then you run to him and say, supply what I need, help me, strengthen me, and he will. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. He will fortify. He will strengthen. He will uphold. He will give you such a thirst for the truth that you cannot deny him, no matter what the consequences. And then Paul says, yet I consider life of no importance to me, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace. Doesn't mean he isn't afraid. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that he is so sold out for the Lord and so trusts in him that he will endure anything as Christ did. He will endure whatever is necessary for his own salvation and for the salvation of those who follow Paul. That's incredible courage and generosity. It is the utmost charity that I am willing to lay down my life for another. Paul, who was a radical oppositionist, is now so convinced that this is the truth that he's willing to lay down his life. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit will give you everything you need for every circumstance. If we turn to him, if we yield to him. But now I know that none of you to whom I preached the kingdom during my travels will ever see my face again. I know what is coming. And so I solemnly declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God. When I stand before God, I can clearly say I have given you everything that God has given me. I have laid down my life for you in prison and torture and shipwreck and, you know, all the passage where he describes all that he's endured. But I do it gladly, and I can stand before God with a clear conscience. Are we in that place? You know, the old question, if I were to be put on trial for being a Christian, if I were put on trial today for being a Christian, would I be found guilty? Paul was clearly found guilty. In other words, does my life reflect who I say I am? I say I'm a Christian. I say I'm Catholic. If I were put on trial for that, would they find me guilty? Would they find that I am in fact a Christian? Or is what I do just simply external, superficial? Where's my heart? Is it sold out for God or not? It needs to be, brothers and sisters. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Commit yourself to him, you who are a temple of the Holy Spirit, by baptism, in confirmation, gifted to be a true Christian in life and in death. You are gifted to do that, but you've got a free will. It's all in there, brothers and sisters. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, that is, created anew in Christ, and you shall renew the face of the earth. That's not just a prayer. That's a proclamation of a reality for those who give themselves to Christ. Is there hardship? Yes. Is there persecution? Yes. But oh, the victory in Christ, with Christ, for Christ, forever. And as Scripture says, no one shall take your joy from you. No one. Nothing. Come on, brothers and sisters. We have a race to run. We have people to bring back to Christ. So many people turning away. So many people leaving. We have a job. We have a call. It's not just a 9-to-5 job. It's our life. It's a call. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. And the gospel for today, John chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. I want you to see the parallel. In the first reading, we have Paul knowing that he's about to die. And in the gospel, we have Jesus approach to death. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had from you and with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belonged to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Could Jesus say that about us? "Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me I have given to them, and they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them." Prayed for us. He knew us before we were born. When Jesus was approaching his death, he was praying for us. "I pray for those who have believed in me. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them." Is Christ glorified in you by your thoughts, your words, your actions? Are people drawn to God? That doesn't mean you talk about religious subjects. It means that you live a life of charity. You live a life of generosity. You don't reject people. You don't turn away. You always help. You're always generous. You follow God's way, and he gives you the strength to serve others with the love that he had. Is God being glorified in you? "And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, while I am coming to you." So as Jesus came to the Father, he was bringing all of us with him, those born and those yet to be born, generation after generation. The Holy Spirit is given you so that that Holy Spirit dwelling within you can return you in the power of love to union with the Father and the Son. It's the greatest love story there is. Brothers and sisters, please take this to heart. Start praying this week. Just praying, "Come, Holy Spirit, come into my life more. I make room for you. I repent of my sin. I make room for you to dwell in my life more and more and more until you radiate through my life." That's not just speech. That's a reality. May you open your heart to receive all that God has for you in his Holy Spirit. I want to offer you a free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. It can be received by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. If you'd like a copy of my CD, Captured by Mercy, which is on forgiveness, you can access that by going to our website, renewalministries.net.